Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Naga Say Never by Kylie Marcus. Narrated by Julio Maxwell and Alice Rose. Chapter 1. Jakari. The house was drafty, a telltale sign of autumn in the air. I had my work cut out to get this place sealed for the winter. Not that I officially needed to anymore. Everyone in Screaming Woods stayed far away from this place. Thanks to a Halloween punch gone wrong, I'd become the stereotypical ghost in the manor. The creepy old man who lived in the haunted house. No, I was the snake man in the shadows. Rising on my tail, I lifted myself to the second floor and quickly hammered a shutter in place for the coming cold winds. It didn't take long before the second and third floors were completely boarded up, especially as I didn't need to keep climbing and moving a ladder. This was the only maintenance I did on the house nowadays. Otherwise, snow and leaves would find their way into the house no matter how tightly sealed the windows were, and considering I was cold-blooded now, I needed to ensure the house stayed as toasty warm as possible or run the risk of falling into brumation. Picking up my tools, I slithered back to the shed and tucked everything inside before heading into the house. It was dinner time for most, but like my reptilian kin, I didn't require regular meals. Once a week usually sufficed for my kind, but after spending so many years like this, every few months became my norm. I usually went into town and splurged on a big meal, but lately, more and more humans had been making their way into town, and the lingering looks were becoming far too frequent for comfort. It was easier being a monster among monsters, but with this new subdivision outside of town going up, more humans were claiming Screaming Woods as their home, completely oblivious to its dark and monstrous history. So I slithered into the shadows and stayed there for everyone's comfort. I was used to the loneliness by now. Instead, my nights were spent working. It was all I had to occupy me, although everything was done remotely. When I was first transformed, I'd run the company through phone calls, which was easy enough when I didn't need to sleep. I learned my lesson that winter and ended up in brumation for months before awakening in spring to find myself covered in dust. After that, I learned everything I could about myself while working as best I could remotely. I built my company into a billion-dollar business, allowing me to step back more and more. The board was interested in my removal. I was, after all, the reclusive billionaire CEO. But if they knew the truth, they would be glad I had stayed hidden. I was a freak, a monster, a predator, and I was better left alone. Settling into the nest I'd made in the living room, I pulled my laptop out of the blankets and flipped it open, losing myself in emails and reports. As I scanned through numbers, a creak drew my attention to the door. Quickly shutting the screen, I hid it in my nest and slithered to the hallway to check. There it was again. Someone was trying to lift one of the boards I'd put over the windows today. It rocked slowly. And then one round, bright blue eye appeared in the corner as they looked inside. The door rattled next, and I slithered closer to the window overlooking the front porch. A young woman stood there, trying to unlock the door with a hairpin. She threw her head back, tossing her shoulder-length purple hair out of her face. An unnatural color, but it suited her, although she looked like she could carry off any color. She was simply breathtaking. Without a second thought, I glided back into the basement and quickly turned the power off. The upstairs lock would shut off immediately, allowing her to enter. I wasn't sure why I'd done it. I was supposed to remain alone, yet I just invited her into my home, all from a single glance. Ensuring all the breakers were off, I returned to the main floor to see if she realized the door was unlocked. I hung back, remaining in the shadows as the door creaked open, and she slipped through, dropping a gray plastic grocery store bag on the floor. She turned back to the door and locked it manually before looking around slowly. She licked her lips and then cleared her throat.
Hello?
Her voice was low, as if she didn't want to know she was breaking into an occupied home. She took a deep breath and tried again, louder this time.
Hello? Is anyone here?
Slowly, she made her way through the house, room by room, checking for occupants. But there was enough dust and other signs of age to reassure her it wasn't. Thanks to my tail, the only clue to my occupancy was the clean floors. But she didn't notice. Heading to the kitchen, she released a sigh as she took in the bare cupboards and outdated and empty fridge. I scanned her body slowly. She couldn't be older than 20, although I suspected even that might be generous. She looked like she'd been to hell and back. Her ripped and stained clothing hung off her like they were 7 sizes too big for her petite form. Her face and hair were muddied, and there was a long gash across her cheek from something. Whoever she was running from something. A sudden protective urge filled me. Whoever was after her would have to go through me to get to her.
Okay, no food.
She closed another cupboard and slumped to the floor, wrapping her arms around her legs as she hung her head. I wished I had a store full of food for her to ravage.
I can survive one more night, and if no one lives here, I'll head into town and get supplies.
She pushed herself to her feet and returned to the front door, bending to grab her dropped bag. Walking to the console table, she dumped out the contents, pushing aside the used box of bleach and purple dye that explained her hair, to count the money spilling from the bag. She sighed when she finished, putting it all back.
I'll need a job if I stay here for a bit.
Her eyes drifted upstairs.
I need to make sure I can stay here first.
Chapter 2 Irina. Try as I might to keep pushing myself, I was exhausted. I'd been running for 2 days straight with no destination in mind other than not returning to where I came from. The only break I'd taken was to apply the hair dye I'd quickly grabbed from the store. The nuns were looking for a woman with long black hair and the initiate uniform I'd worn at the nunnery. So I stole clothes from a donation bin and stopped to get bleach. But stopping to bleach my hair had proven a bad choice. After setting the dye, I'd promptly fallen asleep and woke to find my hair nearly white with patches of blue where the toner had sat too long. So I had no choice but to find a color to cover it all. Purple. Not exactly the inconspicuous look I was going for. But at least I didn't look like me. And there was no way Reyna, my sister, would ever look for purple hair. Thinking about Reyna brought a scowl to my face. I knew why she'd done what she had. It was in her nature to protect me. She always had and always would, so long as we were alive. But sending me away? It was excessive, especially when her husband, a literal demon of hell, would have the means and ability to keep me safe. As if that's why she'd sent me away. Her husband was Satan. And I wasn't being hyperbolic. He really was a prince of hell, alongside his siblings, who were also demons disguised as mafia members. When Reyna came to get me, she was mumbling about our dad and all his troubles. Then she went off about the end of the world. Something about how the devil was being reincarnated. And she thought it was best I get out of Chicago. Next thing I know, I'm in a nunnery of all places, being asked to swear my allegiance to a god that, according to my brother-in-law, doesn't actually exist. It was a lot, and I lasted less than a week before I had to make my escape. I didn't know if they would chase me or if they'd tell Reyna, and she'd sic hellhounds on me, also real, apparently. So I ran and had no idea where I was going or what I would do. So I kept running. And here I was. Hopefully in an unoccupied house, because I needed a safe haven for a couple of days until I figured out my plan. Grabbing my shopping bag of cash stolen from the donation box at the nunnery, I made my way to the second floor. Almost at the top, I paused and glanced over my shoulder. So far, it didn't appear anyone was here. Yet my neck prickled with the sensation of being watched. Hello? Still nothing. But I couldn't deny the churning in my belly or how my hair was standing on end. I considered turning and going back downstairs to check it out. But as I did, the stairs creaked, reassuring me. If someone did follow me upstairs, the squeaking boards would tell me. I edged the toe of my high tops across the next stair, leaning my weight into it. Relieved at its long, aching noise, I continued to the top. I paused to take in the faded, peeling wallpaper clinging to the walls for dear life. How long has this place been vacant? The floor creaked, reassuring me of my original assessment that it would alert me to anyone's presence, as I carefully made my way along the old carpeting. Still, I peered over the banister, hoping to catch someone in the act. No one. I shook my head, telling myself I was slightly more paranoid since learning demons and monsters were real. That had to be it. The first door opened to a bedroom with an unmade bed. There was a discernible layer of dust on the mattress, but flipping it should do the trick. I wasn't looking to stay at the Hilton. I wanted somewhere to rest for the night. My feet were about ready to fall off. Setting the bag on the floor, I moved over to the bed and braced myself for the twister of dust I was about to unleash. Gripping the mattress, I heaved and lifted it upward before tossing it toward the window. As it landed with a crash, a cloud of dust went everywhere and I choked. A fit of coughing overtook me as I waved a hand in front of my face, trying not to swallow anymore. Walking back to that side, I grunted as I lifted the mattress. I shuffled around the room to turn it the other way so it would flop onto the side I wanted when I pushed it. It took me a few minutes, but finally, I had a non-dusty mattress. Satisfied, I decided I needed a shower before bed. After running for 2 days straight, I was muddied and bloodied. There was no sense in laying my dirty ass on that dust-free mattress. The minute I was out in the hallway, I felt that eerie feeling once more, like somebody was watching me. It didn't help that this place was dark and dank. Without electricity, I was squinting in shadows at best. "Stop freaking yourself out, Arena," I chastised myself. The next door I opened revealed the bathroom. Stepping inside, I was surprised to find it fully furnished. Hand towels hung from the ring on the wall, an old toothbrush abandoned in a spit cup, and a soap bar that was dirtier than any hands it had ever seen. Like my bedroom, everything was covered in a thick quilt of age. I checked under the cupboard, relieved to find a towel that wasn't nearly as dusty as the rest at the bottom. I shook it out for good measure and hung it over the curtain rod rather than putting it on the dirty counter. Taking a deep breath, I pushed the curtain open enough to reveal the bath and shower combo and braced myself for my inevitable cold shower. This place was old school. It had those twisty knobs with a little stopper to activate the shower head. After a moment of fiddling, I got it going, and to my surprise, the water was warm. That's weird. I frowned as my hand remained under the hot stream. But I wasn't going to let this unusual opportunity go to waste. I quickly shucked off my clothes and left them in a pile on the floor before scrambling into the shower. I sighed in relief as the hot water hit my muscles. As I pulled the curtain closed, I thought I saw a shadow pass by out of the corner of my eye. I quickly yanked it open again and stuck my head out. Still nothing. I growled in annoyance and my eyes flicked to my reflection. You need to stop this, Arena. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. There's nobody here. They would have revealed themselves by now. Hoping my stern self-lecture was enough, I closed the curtain and reveled in my hot shower.
Chapter 3. Jakari. My heart was in my throat as she peeled off her clothes. I should have looked away, but my eyes were glued to her body as something awoke inside me that I hadn't felt for a very long time. Since my monstrous change, I'd lived in a state of emotional brumation. Seeing Irina, as she'd called herself, in all her natural beauty, stole my breath and restarted my heart. Never before had my glands opened and allowed my erection to protrude without deliberate forethought. I'd gone many years without companionship, and my hand had sufficed until now, but the sight of Irina aroused me painfully, making my cock bob out of the slitted pocket where it usually sat inside my tail. She sensed I was nearby, but I was careful not to let her catch me watching her from the shadows. When she finally stepped into the shower, I turned away, reluctantly. I didn't want her to know I was here, not yet. So I slithered to my bedroom. I shut the door and locked it, ensuring it was secure before turning to find another shadowed alcove where I could stand and watch her. As much as I longed to go to her, fear filled me at how she might react to my monstrous form. I didn't expect it would be good. It was devastating to think I could only look and never touch her. As I waited for her, I fisted my cock, pumping it with rough and torturous strokes. I should be punished for leering at her, but every squeeze felt so good. I bit back a moan, and my heavy-lidded eyes threatened to slip shut as I pictured her naked body. I imagined joining Irina in the shower, cupping her face and kissing her tenderly until she melted against me. I pictured her wrapping her legs around my waist as I drove my length inside her tight warmth. My balls ached, and I tightened my grip at the thought of her flushed cheeks and sweet cries of ecstasy. I imagined how she would chant my name like a symphony as waves of pleasure racked her body. The vision made me yank harder on my dick as I chased my pleasure. My breath came in pants as my release drew closer. I gripped the banister with my free hand to hold me upright while I continued to abuse my rock-hard cock. Suddenly, the bathroom door swung open, and I tore my hand from my shaft in shame. My body burned with the need for release, but I couldn't risk her discovering me. I couldn't bear to see her reaction to my reptilian form. Irina stepped out of the bathroom, toweling her lavender hair. She left the pile of dirty old clothes on the floor for later. She couldn't see me, but my gaze slid along her toweled body. All I had to do was reach out with my tail and grab the towel's edge. One little yank would expose her gorgeous curves to my eyes. But I resisted. If I remained in the darkness, I might get another glimpse of her perfect body. I pushed my cock back into the slit and let it close with a heavy sigh. She moved toward me, and I slipped into the closet so I could still watch her. But her shadow passed by as she headed toward my bedroom instead. I was grateful for my foresight in locking the door, since seeing my things would give away my presence. And I wasn't ready for that yet. Irina paused to look at the family portraits hanging on the wall.
Well, hello there.
She grinned as she stared at my old portrait taken only a year before my transformation.
Aren't you a delicious hunk of man?
She ran her finger down my portrait's cheek before her eyes flicked to the gold plate.
Jakari.
She whispered my name like it was a precious gift. My cock surged once more. I'd fantasized about how my name would sound on her lips. Now I wanted to hear her whisper it breathlessly while I fucked her with my tail and cock. Irina pulled her hand away and frowned.
I'd love to know what happened to your home.
She shrugged and said wistfully,
I guess I'll never know. But thank you for letting me stay.
You're welcome, I whispered. She twisted around, her eyes wide as she searched for the source of the whispered reply. With my enhanced hearing, I could tell her heart was racing. I hadn't meant to frighten her. But now I could hear how her heart strummed for me, and I imagined all the ways I could make it happen again. I wanted to feel her beneath me and over me. I wanted to surround myself with everything she was. Now she was in my home. She was mine. She didn't even know it yet. But I would show her.
Hello? Is someone there?
After a moment, her heartbeat steadied, although it still raced as she tried to be brave, stepping further into the hallway.
I don't mean to trespass. I'm just looking for a place to stay for the night. I'll be out in the morning if you don't want me here.
Irina paused, glancing into the empty bedroom between mine and the one she'd chosen. She re-emerged with a frown and shook her head.
Now you're hearing things,
she chastised herself as she walked away. My eyes trailed up the length of her legs until they disappeared beneath the towel. The urge to yank it off her came once more. I shook it away, disappointed when she entered the bedroom and closed the door behind her. I exhaled as my cock throbbed inside my slit, desperate for a finish. That would have to wait. I needed to see her again. Moving slowly to the door, I paused outside. I had to wait a few minutes before she settled into bed. The house was old and creaky, and if I weren't careful, one wrong move would give me away. Straining my enhanced hearing, I listened as her movements behind the door finally stilled. Her breathing regulated, and I knew she was asleep. I carefully turned the knob and pushed the door open. My cock throbbed again when I saw the discarded towel. She slept naked. The house was far too cold for her to sleep without clothing, yet her soft, adorable snores drifted through the room. She must have been exhausted to fall asleep so quickly despite the chill. Turning toward my bedroom, I unlocked the door and went inside. I retrieved a quilt from the closet before going back to Irina, careful to move silently. Pausing beside the bed, I stared at her perfect form. She was everything I'd been waiting for but hadn't realized. After my transformation, I hid inside my house, knowing that being a snake man would be off-putting to anyone who wasn't a reptile lover. There was no chance in hell I'd find someone who could overlook my scales and tail, let alone my slitted eyes and fangs. While others who'd been transformed could still lead normal lives, I knew I was doomed to solitude by my serpentine shape. But Irina, arriving in my home, changed everything. I stared at her, drinking in her soft sweetness. I wanted to take care of her and protect her from who or what was chasing her. They wouldn't get to her, not on my watch. All this time I'd lived alone in this old home, but now I had a reason to put my money to good use, and I intended to give Irina whatever she needed. Reluctantly, I unfolded the blanket and carefully laid it over her, stepping back to watch as she slept. My cock throbbed painfully inside my slit, and when I was sure she was asleep, I slowly extracted it and palmed myself once more. It wouldn't take long to finish, but I needed to. The drive was so powerful that if I didn't, I would surely go insane. As she slept, I stroked, ensuring my grip was tight and painful. I deserved this for being lecherous, for standing here watching her sleep without her knowing, jacking off like the pervert I was. But fuck, it had been so long, and now I'd seen her, I needed to make her mine. I'd find a way to be with her, to bury myself deep inside her. The next time I came, it would be deep within her folds, filling her womb with my seed. A groan escaped me as I drove my fangs into my bottom lip, biting so hard the blood filled my mouth. Ropes of cum coated my hand as I swallowed a hedonistic groan. Maybe fate didn't want me to belong to anyone. But Irina would belong to me, and for as long as she did, I would be hers in every way that mattered.
Chapter 4 Irina. I woke the next morning to find a blanket covering me. My heart raced as I grabbed the quilt, clutching it tightly. My gaze flicked around the room as the sun burned brightly through the boards over the windows. In the streaks of sunlight, I confirmed I was alone. But where did this blanket come from? From the owner of the voice I heard in the shadows last night? Maybe I wasn't going crazy after all. Someone was here with me, but they weren't showing themselves. I imagined plenty of reasons they'd want to hide from me. None of them were good. I needed to get to the bottom of this before they did something sketchy while I slept. Rising from the bed, I wrapped the quilt around myself and padded toward the door. I needed clothes, and I wasn't wearing those old tattered rags again. Whoever had given me this blanket must have clothes here, too. Once I was dressed, I planned to find them. They had to be here. I'd sensed them at various times last night. The blanket covering me when I woke was evidence that I wasn't going crazy or imagining things. As I crossed the room, I kicked something on the ground, and my gaze jumped to the grocery bag at my feet. This was different from the one I'd been carrying for 2 days. What the hell? I opened it to find new clothes inside. A mini dress, a bra, underwear, socks, and a pair of shoes. I looked around, searching for a camera. Someone must have been watching me closely to get my clothing size right. Frowning, I returned to the bed and removed the quilt. I emptied the bag's contents and carefully pulled on the clothes, pleased to see that everything was a bit loose but more or less fit, which only made me more nervous. I ran my hands down the sides of the dress. It was late autumn, so a mini dress seemed inappropriate. Whoever had gotten this had done it deliberately to see me in it. I sat on the bed, grabbed the knee-high socks, and rolled them up my legs as high as possible for warmth. The shoes were a little snug as I jammed my feet into them, but they'd have to do until I could get into town to buy another pair. Still unsettled, I left the bedroom and walked down the hall, pausing in front of Jakari's portrait. You'd be in your 40s by now. A 40-year-old man does not move stealthily enough to evade me for this long unless he's James Bond or Ethan Hunt. So who else is in your home? Help me find them, please. I touched my fingers to his hand, feeling a strange connection to the man staring down at me. Desire churned through me as his eyes smoldered from the portrait. It was unfair that he was so hot and not real. After the month I'd had, his company wouldn't be refused. Plus, maybe he'd satisfy my burning need to know why his home was abandoned. When he'd assumedly left...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?